Welcome to the Notre Dame Seminary Podcast. We are an apostolic community dedicated to forming Roman Catholic priests for the new evangelization.
I'd like to begin with Pope Francis's reflection on the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council documents on priestly formation, Optatum Totius, as well as Presbyterum Ordinis, on the life and ministry of the priest. And the Holy Father, as we begin this year of mercy, takes a section from the letter to the Hebrews that we're all familiar with. Priests are taken from among men, are ordained for men in the things that belong to God, in order to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Nevertheless, they live on earth with other men as brothers amid brothers. There are three moments in that letter to the Hebrews I'd like to briefly reflect with you. The first moment, taken from among men. The second moment, ordained for men. And the third moment, present among men. So the first reflection, taken from among men. I'm very much intrigued, amazed, grateful for each of the histories that you bring to your discernment, your own history that you bring before the Lord, and a history that you should never, ever forget. However, on the day of ordination, no priest is ever a finished product. A priest doesn't just appear out of nowhere. Seminary formation is not a laboratory where priests are created or manufactured. Yes, you take off the old man in the seminary and you put on Christ. But as you take that old man off, what you're not taking off is your own personal history of how you got here. Each of you come from some type of family experience. That family experience might be broken. That family life may have been a cross for you, and it still may be. That family may have been a great source of consolation for your vocation. Nevertheless, each of you, each of us, has a history that's related to family. What seminary formation is presuming, as you're here at the seminary, is that you have self-mastery over that history, that you're a man of capacity. So whatever woundedness there might be there, whatever gifts that there might be coming from family life, that you have mastery and capacity over those gifts. 2 points about being taken from men. The first point is, as the church, as God is taking you from men, that you are to be a man of peace. I am at peace with myself. You are at peace with the wounds and the riches of yourself. That there's a certain serenity about your humanity. Without being at peace with yourself, and you know what it's like, formation becomes a struggle. Discernment becomes a struggle. You allow yourself to be a distraction to what the Holy Spirit might be doing with you. And if you're not at peace with yourself, ministry becomes emotional. You become codependent on that ministry. You start ministering at people because you're not comfortable and at peace with yourself. You become someone who becomes a distraction within the life of the church. You think about trying to heal other people without healing yourself. You think that you can erase the brokenness about yourself if you neglect to be able to be at peace with who you are. So priestly formation must be able to confirm at some point before you're presented as a candidate, this seminarian is at peace with himself, with the brokenness, and with the riches of your humanity. Secondly, as you're being taken from among men, you're being taken into a joy. See, disciples of Jesus are joyful men. Not that we're walking around with smiles, wearing crazy ties all the time. Rather, we, because we're at peace with ourselves, there is a natural joy that flows from the life of a priest. Because the priest himself, using Pope Francis's words, becomes a gospel of joy. He personifies Jesus' priesthood in joy. His very life, his very humanity, shows the joy and the holiness of what it means to be a servant of the gospel. His humanity, going through years of formation, becomes like what St. Paul describes as an earthen vessel. It actually holds the treasure of God's joy. Our humanity, a man who's ordained as a priest, becomes a vessel that holds in his person, holds in his speaking, holds in his ministry, joy. Nothing like seeing a happy, joyful priest. His humanity, while he's embraced celibacy and obedience, becomes a sacramental sign of joy and a new life by which everyone is going to be living in heaven, a celibate life in heaven, seen in that priest. Therefore, years of formation should be cultivating a joy, even as you're bristling with formation. The seminarian who does not cultivate, from a natural standpoint, the virtue of joy in being a disciple is the angry priest. The priest constantly barraging his people. The priest who only speaks about condemnation. The priest who only speaks about how everyone's going to hell. The priest who only speaks about damnation. There's something wrong when the people of God are not being able to see joy and the joy of the gospel being lived out specifically in the life of a Catholic priest. Ordination does not supply joy. That somehow I can go through seminary angry, bristling, complaining, because on the day of ordination, I will rise from the cathedral floor joyful. It's not going to happen. The seminary needs to expose in himself a joy that does come from formation, because he's very serious about growing in holiness. The second point in that letter to the Hebrews is you're being taken from men, you're being ordained for them, not for yourself. The scriptures speak about Christ, the high priest, but a high priest who isn't so high that he can't be grasped, he can't be touched, he can't be accessed, that he's too lofty. No, Jesus, the high priest, gets on his hands and knees and washes the feet of the disciples with the question, do you understand what I just did for you? Do you understand what I just did for you as Christ the high priest? See, Jesus' priesthood is not for ourselves. It's for the salvation of his people. And yes, certainly for our own salvation. We are not priests for ourselves. The mercy of Jesus is extended to God's people personally, not institutionally. St. Ambrose once wrote, "Where there is mercy, there's the Spirit of the Lord. Where there's rigidity, that's a minister." Boy, what a slap in the face. Where there is mercy, that's the Spirit of the Lord. Where there is rigidity, that's a minister. A little insulting, but maybe sometimes true. The minister who does not possess the mercy of God will be a peril, as Pope Francis said. He'll be dangerous to the people of God, because he's reduced the high priest of Jesus to a sacramental functionary rather than being a father of mercy. Which leads to the third point. Taken from among men, ordained for men, and present among men. And we talk about this often here at Notre Dame Seminary. The shepherd who is among the people. He knows their anxieties. He knows their struggles. He walks through the neighborhoods. He's at the Little League games. He's at Friday night football games. He walks the halls of the nursing home, not just to zip in and zip out. He's in the cafeteria of the local mall. He's on the scene as that house is burning. He's blessing the newly opened store that's in the boundaries of his parish. He's at civic events. He's at local parades. He's at the American Legion. He has a relationship with local politicians. This is the type of parish that I would like you to be the administrators of at St. Rita's Church next year. Some of you have congratulated me. Congratulations on becoming pastor. For me, it's a title. You're going to do the work, and you're going to do it now. You're going to do it over 4 to 6 years. We're going to show to ourselves and serve the people of God of what's going to happen at Carrollton and Walmsley, that we're not just residents and guests of this building, but we're going to take our theology, take our formation, take our prayer life, and actually live it in real time, helping the Lord save the souls of people. This is the lifestyle as a seminary that we want you to take back to your diocese and back to your religious community, to be men of communion who can serve. Let us listen to the words of Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of these least of these, you did not do it to me." And they will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Neither the righteous nor those on his left knew that it was him. But at least the righteous still did it. They still did it even though they didn't know it was Jesus. As we begin this year of mercy, how can the corporal works of mercy be lived at Notre Dame Seminary? And I'd like each of you to think about what this means. We're going to spiritualize some of these points, but not so that they become lofty, but that they become real. I was hungry and you gave me food. Number one, what does a hungry seminarian look like? That he's not drifting through the formation program. He doesn't come drifting into this chapel at 7:29 or even late for a rector's conference. That this man is so hungry that he takes advantage of what the church can give to him. See, that hunger is a service to Jesus. So reflect a little bit on the hunger that you have. Sometimes we can be so filled up with our own righteousness that we're no longer hungry. The second point of that, how can we, with the eyes of faith, see other hungry seminarians? How can a seminarian be honest with them to allow those hungers to be shown? And how can seminarians help each other in serving Jesus? That seminarian is hungry. I can see it. And what are you going to do about it? Again, not trying to over-spiritualize this, but God may ask you to give an account that while you were at Notre Dame Seminary, you neglected to feed another seminarian. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. Do we allow ourselves in our thirst to be quenched with how the church wants to give us drink? Oh yes, there's a lot of things that can satisfy our thirsts. There's a lot of wells, but the Samaritan woman went to that well with Jesus, and she allowed herself to quench a thirst that only Jesus could quench. That took great humility. So the church has a deliberate way in quenching your thirst. Sometimes we don't like what's given to us. As Jesus hangs on the cross, they gave him gall, and they shoved a sponge in his mouth. Sometimes, and that Jesus took on that humanity, he was obedient even to that psalm that said they were going to do this. He was aware of that psalm. And so in a sense, that was the Father's partial plan, that they would shove gall into his mouth, and he did it. And sometimes formation tastes like gall, but you'll be man enough to allow that thirst to be quenched the way the church wants to feed you. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. There are a lot of strange people in this building. Me being one of them. Do we allow the strangeness of our ethnicity, of our culture, of our age to prevent us from getting to know one another? I would be ashamed if there are seminarians in this chapel who don't know the names of all 40 new seminarians. I would be ashamed. I would hope you would be. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Brother Emmanuel, what's the motto for your order in regards to strangers? About welcome them all like Christ. Have we welcomed each other like Christ? And even certainly when we have guests that do come, do we just walk right by them? As we have guests sometimes in the chapel who don't have a breviary, who don't know what we're doing. But even the fact that we can never be strangers to one another. I was naked, and you clothed me. As we are stripping ourselves of the old man, and we're doing it publicly, and while we have our spiritual directors, while your prayer life is personal, while you go to confession personally, the church wants us to do this, part of this conversion, from an ecclesial communal standpoint. And sometimes it's embarrassing, I'm sure, when our nakedness is being seen by other seminarians. Pray for humility. Don't let pride get in the way. Well, I don't want anyone to see this. There's something natural to that. But conversion will not be complete. It never is on this side of heaven. But it'll never be complete the way it should be if we're holding our cards back, if we don't want our brother seminarians to be able to see. And when we do see it, I can see my brother seminarian. He looks pretty naked this week. He's suffering. What am I going to do to clothe him? Clothe him with a word of gratitude? To clothe him with hang in there? To clothe him with encouragement? If we don't do that, we leave Jesus Christ naked. We did that once before. I was sick, and you visited me. Certainly, physical illness is always a part of community life. But there's other types of sickness. that we have to first see in ourselves before we remove the plank from our own eyes. What type of sicknesses, spiritual, mental, that I have in my humanity? And as I take the plank out of my eye, how do I see sicknesses of other seminarians? And visit them, to visit him. My brother is sick. We've talked about fraternal correction and fraternal charity, and many of you have shared with me and asked for advice, I'm sure with your spiritual directors and formation advisors as well, of how to support all of us when we're sick. I was in prison, you came to me. The seminary is not a prison, but we each have our own rooms, and we have our own spaces. And sometimes as we are embracing obedience, as we're embracing the demands of formation, we're not becoming less free or less of a man, but we are becoming saints. That's the goal, to the call to holiness. And so there are some walls that we have to be protecting. We have to protect our priesthood, we have to protect our vocations, and some of those boundaries and walls can leave us sometimes feeling a little off, out of sorts. And we can sometimes see those walls in each other. And how do we visit and go to that other person? How do we allow the Lord to come into our hearts so that we don't become rigid and there's no joy, and therefore our priesthood in fact becomes a prison? Even if we have a hard time seeing Jesus, the righteous had no idea that they were actually ministering to Jesus, but they still did it anyway. And sometimes it might be hard to see the face of Christ in this community, in each other. Do it anyway. That's the corporal work of mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ, you are the high priest, and yet your mercy is so personal, it's accessible, it's free, it's refreshing, it brings us joy. As this community prepares for the year of mercy, we pray that we can embrace the commands that you've left to us, so articulated in the Gospel of St. Matthew, that we can practice those corporal works of mercy vibrantly and essentially at Notre Dame Seminary. But we can only do so with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, through the example and the friendship of Our Lady, and after that of the example of St. Joseph. We open our hearts and minds to you as this semester comes to a close, as we celebrate the great holy season of Advent, as we prepare ourselves for that final coming, for that kingdom which awaits us, a kingdom which is surely breaking forth into the hearts of each man in this chapel, as we discern your holy will, thy will be done, not our own, for your holy name, forever and ever.
Amen.
God will provide.
Let
us praise the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to the Father.
You have been listening to the Notre Dame Seminary Podcast. Notre Dame is a Roman Catholic seminary and graduate school of theology located in New Orleans, Louisiana. For more information, log on to www.nds.edu.